few have stirred as much controversy in recent years as Mark Driscoll. Amid the echoes of the podcast, The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill, the rock and roll preacher once again finds himself at the epicenter of Christian discourse. Recently, as a guest speaker at one of the nation's largest Christian men's conferences in the United States, Driscoll sparked uproar by beginning his talk with a rebuke for opening the men's conference with a chest-bearing male acrobat. This public disagreement led to a remarkable moment as Driscoll was escorted off the stage by the event's host pastor, John Lindell. The fallout has left the Christian community divided, with opinions split on whether Driscoll or Pastor Lindell handled this correctly. Join us in this week's episode as Troy, Annie, and Wes delve into their perspectives on the incident. Before we get into the episode, just by way of reminder, please make sure you head to apologeticscanada.com/events. We got a few different things coming up this coming weekend, as well as in a couple months' time. We want to make sure that we get every opportunity to connect with you at one of our upcoming events. Can I Trust the Bible? Both the conference recordings as well as the video series itself are available on our website. Head to apologeticscanada.com/store to get yours today. Now, let's get into the episode. Hey, listeners, welcome to the AC Podcast. My name is Troy, and I'm here today with Andy and Wes. Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Good to be with you.
Super duper.
Before we were getting on the episode today, we were talking about people's resting faces, and it's a really funny thing, especially as a public speaker, because I have seen like some crazy looks on people, and then they come up to you at the end of the night, and they're like, "That was amazing. That was thank you so much for speaking." And it's like, "What? Are you sure? Because you look like you wanted to kill me." But we were getting on Wes about Wes's
my concentration face is definitely a scowl, and I need to be careful of it.
It's funny. I had an intern that had a perma smile, and it was actually just as annoying because you could never read where she was at. She having a good day, a bad day. You had no idea. It's just
I'm having a nightmare today. Yeah, we're struggling. Yeah, that'd be pretty difficult to work with. But speaking of, this is my segue. Let's see how smooth I can do this. Speaking of reactions to live entertainment, over this past weekend, the Christian world has all kind of been on fire a little bit about a conversation regarding a well-known pastor, the name that comes with a lot of tension, Pastor Mark Driscoll, addressing
infamous pastor,
the most infamous.
He's back. We're talking about him again.
Right. Right. So this past weekend at a youth conference called the Stronger Men's Conference in Springfield, Missouri, they had an opening entertainer who this big muscly guy who ends up ripping off his shirt and doing a bunch of like basically strength aerobics, I guess that's probably the best way I could put it, climbing up a pole. And you don't really hear, as you're watching this video, you don't see much of the reaction.
Well, first, I got to just say that I'm excited to talk about this, although I find it interesting to talk about this because we haven't talked about it yet. So I have no idea.
Someone might get booed off the platform right now.
I don't know where you guys land on this. So I am intrigued by that. There is a part of me that cringes at talking about Mark Driscoll, but I'm going to do it.
Wes, what about you? Initial reactions?
I mean, I didn't realize when I started seeing this pop up on Twitter or X or whatever we want to call it. But this is not the first time this church has gone viral. Because last year at the same conference, they went viral for they brought in a tank and they drove over a bunch of stuff. And then they not that long ago had a whole debacle where they claimed that some woman's toes had grown back.
Show me the toes.
Miraculous healing. Show me the toes. And then they said they were going to show the toes, and they created, I think the website was literally called showmethetoes.com or something like that. And then they never put up the pictures, and then they kind of backtracked on a whole bunch of stuff. So in one way, they're kind of being consistent with the whole kind of controversy thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know where to start with this particular situation, because there's a lot going on.
Well, I think it's fair to just start at the beginning. So
first and foremost, how do you guys feel about this performer? And the reason I say performer is because much of what was circulating around was that this guy was a stripper and all these things. But if you actually look into his story, into who he is, he was formerly a male performer, stripper, call it what you will, in a secular circuit, who has since then given his life to Christ and now has turned his performance into, yes, he still swallows a sword and does these different strength aerobics on different apparatus. He still does those things, but he uses it now as an evangelistic tool. So first and foremost, you got to have context there before you dive into it. I would land on the spot of saying, I still don't know if that was necessary for a men's conference at all.
Here's my hot take on it. And this might surprise you. I don't necessarily have a problem with it. The reason that I don't necessarily have a problem with it, the guy's a former male stripper and he's a circus act. And that's what this conference does. They do weird stuff like that, like bringing in tanks and
they're a circus.
Yeah, it's like a Christian circus. And honestly, I've seen a lot of weird stuff in my day in the church.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, I wouldn't necessarily do it myself. Like, I remember, I don't know if you guys remember back in the 90s. Were you even alive in the...
I was born 90s? 1990, so depending on when we're talking.
Okay. Churches love to have strong men come into churches, and they would do things like rip telephone books in half or blow up hot water...
Blowing up hot water.
Hot water bottles. Yeah, I've definitely seen that.
Not hot water bottles, but they're those like bags, those hot water bags that people used to use back in the day. They would like blow those up. And,
oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. They would do weird stuff like that, and then they would share the gospel. But we'd also do other weird things, like bring in NBA. Like I grew up in the U.S., right? So you'd bring in somebody from the Trailblazers, and they would do some basketball stuff and tell you about Jesus. We've kind of always done things like that. I also don't have a problem with Christians redeeming things out of culture. I don't know if you can. Again, I think you can use things to point people to Jesus. Again, do I think it's weird? Yeah. Would I do it? No. Do I think it's inherently sinful? No, I don't.
And this is a good time to announce that at the Apologetics Canada 2025 conference, we're going to have magicians.
Cats out the bag.
Yes.
False. I get what you're saying, Andy, and I can resonate. Like I wouldn't go so far as what I won't do is make something that may be convictional doctrinal. You know, I don't want to go and say this is absolutely profane, and I'm not trying to draw those lines because, to be completely honest, I've ran into the same conversations with hip hop as a hip hop artist.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the problem.
Right. And so people are taking their view of it from the world's perspective and then, you know, putting a blanket brush on it.
Do you know how many youth conferences I've gone to that they've done weird stuff? They bring me, I've been at so many that have magicians, for example.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like how you feel about that? So a couple things though, with this, was this guy doing a strip dance on the pole?
No.
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 He wasn't. Did he climb up it with a sword in his mouth? Yes, he did. And I heard from some, like I read some comments from people that were at the conference said that it was cringy. You know, but it's like, but yeah, you paid money to go see that. Like, it's not like you're surprised. Like, they brought tanks last year.
Yeah.
You know?
They had monster trucks this year. So it's like, I think... I agree with you, both of you, your comment, Andy, and then Troy, how that can like be extrapolated to things like hip hop, where it's like, oh, well, you know, we're not here to be entertained. No, but also it's not wrong to be entertained.
Exactly.
We want to be entertained to a certain degree, right? But I think what this begs the question for me is I'm seeing a lot of people who are kind of sick of entertainment in this kind of extravagant way.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a place for it. And we have, you know, Troy, you did a spoken word and it was amazing at this conference. That is entertainment.
It is.
And that doesn't
mean... The Apologetics Conference.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
The AC.
Not this conference. James. I was not James there.
Wood Church. Yeah, yeah. So,
that video was my phone.
good clarification. Yeah. So like there is a place and a time for it. I think the question is, when are we... moving from, like you talked about, Andy, the early 2000s and this like hyper kind of seeker sensitive, We got to, you know, bring all the youth in with free pizza and lock-ins and do all the things and then talk about Jesus for 10 minutes. I think that's kind of where we saw a lot of this happen. And it's grown, and particularly, I mean, everything's bigger in the States. And you see these conferences, they have these things. But I also see a lot of people who, I know people personally who have converted to either Roman Catholicism or Eastern Orthodoxy out of Protestantism. And all of them, when I talk to them, one of their main beefs, it's not the gospel, it's not theology primarily, it's that they're looking for substance. And these things to them appear substantive because they have like this air of being kind of just respectful and honorific. And they look at the mainstream Protestant church and they see tanks and sword swallowers and motorcycle tricks. And they're just they don't feel that. So I agree with both of you, and I don't know where the balance is there.
Right.
Well, and one thing we got to appreciate about this conference, like it or not, and yes, it does seem like it comes from a weird church that I know nothing about, so I want to be careful on what I say there. But like it or not, this is what they've done. This has been their shtick for 7 years doing this conference, of doing things that will attract a wider audience and then telling them about Jesus. And so they want to use tanks to do that. God bless them. But it does seem weird to me, and I agree completely with you, Wes. I don't think it's actually very effective right now, and I think the audience's response to it and the fact that we're all talking about it is a big indication that as a culture, we've moved on from milk and are, you know, as Paul would say, and we want something more substantive. We need to move on from tanks and sword swallowers, and we need to talk about more important issues and getting into the heart of the gospel and in our lives and what's going on. So maybe this is a good segue though, to get into, Mark's, rebuke and what we think about that.
Yeah. It was a very intriguing moment because I don't want to get into the weeds of who Mark Driscoll is, but I mean, you can do that on your own time, people, listeners, people. But Mark Driscoll was former lead pastor and founder of Mars Hill Church. And, you know, I'm sure many of our listeners have heard or at least heard about the rise and fall of Mars Hill, the podcast that was basically outlining the timeline of Mark's church and what happened amongst there. And so he's no stranger to controversy to begin with. But as we've been kind of seeing slowly in the last couple of years, there's been somewhat of a redemption arc, so it seems, where people are trying to bring him out to events and, you know, trying to see him restored in some capacity. And so first and foremost, seeing Mark there was probably shocking for a lot of people to begin with.
Can we just pause there for a moment? Yeah. Think about that from the conference perspective. Pastor John, like or not, like we're not getting into the weeds of this and the church and their doctrine or whatever, but they invited Mark Driscoll out. They took a huge chance to do that, which I was shocked too, Troy, going, wow, you brought Mark out there, like, I'm surprised.
And to a certain degree, just as I kind of wrap up my thought here, is like, you should already know what you could get, not what you are getting, but what you could get. So when Mark goes up there and basically does an open rebuke, you hear some people cheering. One, probably people that are already excited to see him again, because he had a huge following, a very, very huge following, has impacted a lot of people. But secondly, there's probably a lot of people in there that also might have felt uncomfortable, had their viewpoints, and now they've felt seen. And you can see that in Mark's posture as he's waiting for response and applause as he's speaking. He's not just speaking and rolling through and people are just commenting. Like anyone who's done any kind of public speaking, you know when you've got certain hot button points that you're waiting to hear what the crowd is going to say and do. And then as he's rebuking him, you know, it just felt like, it felt really disingenuous to a certain degree. Not saying that it was, but it felt like you've been out the game for how long, and now this is one of the first things you kind of want to do. It, to me, just didn't feel like, it felt like a very, very interesting moment, to say the least.
Although it may seem like he's been out of the game, he hasn't actually, because he's gone viral a number of times, even within the last year. because he, after he left and was removed from leadership at Mars Hill, he did pastor a number of churches. He never stopped pastoring. He just moved to another state. And actually was removed from leadership a number of times. I think he's currently in Phoenix. I could be wrong about that. He definitely was pastoring at a church in Phoenix.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
And so he's been featured even recently. He's been on a number of more large conservative podcasts. Even Ben Shapiro recently featured a clip of him. So he's been like kind of in the zeitgeist, even though
I would say on the fringes.
Yeah, I was going to say at bare minimum, he's been under the radar.
Yeah. I mean, in sort of my circles, he did a whole thing where he was like repudiating Reformed theology and Calvinism, and everyone was like, wait, what? You're the guy who wrote about that stuff. And it was very surface level and stuff. But I often think, and this even pertains to what we're talking about here, Mark has a flair for the hyperbolic, and he kind of always has.
Bombastic.
And I mean, this is just my opinion, but I think he was unqualified when he was at Mars Hill. I think he's never really sought to get a grounding, whether that's theologically or otherwise. And he's just kind of moved on. And he's kind of done this the same shtick that he's always done. He's just kind of shifted the context that he does it in and the content that he actually applies it to. So this isn't arguably anything new. And the way even that he's talking still sounds like when I remember him in the early 2000s preaching at Mars Hill. This kind of like the comparison to the high places in the Asherah pole. And like, this is all very quintessential Mark. And I didn't love it then. I don't love it now.
Would you say it was a reach?
Oh, well, let's talk. I want to talk about that. Just to springboard though off what Wes is saying though, I would say when he left Mars Hill, there was this... seemed like there was a moment where he removed himself from the limelight, if you will. Mm-hmm. He was always there, though. I totally agree with you in with regards to pastoring and whatnot. But now he's kind of back in that limelight again, and you get in the same Mark again, very bombastic. And you know, there's a good question to ask, Troy. Is this a reach? And I would say absolutely, this is a reach with what he's saying, calling that stage a high place. And just even his reference to the Old Testament and to call that an Asherah pole.
Yeah.
I personally would say absolutely not.
Yeah.
Like, I think that all of that is a reach to with regards to how he's trying to compare that, and particularly this idea that this guy's going ascending the pole. How dare he? Because our God doesn't ascend; he descends. Yeah. Like, I mean, you could, if you want to use that kind of way of thinking, you could make anybody look like an idiot, and or anything look like it is, you know, pagan, secular.
Well, he literally walked up on a stage. He went up onto the stage, up to the pulpit. He's elevated above the crowd. Like,
you're preaching, Wes. You're preaching.
You take the application, and it's just it proves too much.
Yeah. The one thing I thought about, and initially, before I found out about this performer, I was like, oh, okay, is it? I naturally assumed that this performer was not necessarily a Christian, or at some stage in their faith. But I thought about, like, my heart just went out to them, because the next day after they've done this performance, whatever, especially now knowing that they came from that world and now they're in the Christian circles and they're trying to use their gift as an evangelistic tool, they wake up the next day and they're seeing that manipulated like that. Like, it's things like that. Like, this is where church hurt happens. You know, saying they have the Jezebel spirit and all that kind of thing. Like, have you spoken to that performer? Like, did you speak to them and caution them about what they're doing ever? Do you have a relationship with them? No.
Those thoughts were going through my mind as well, Troy. My heart goes out to that guy and praying God's, you know, spirit over him and counsel. Again, whether or not you like the circus act is beside the point. Right. You're dealing with a human being that once was a stripper and is seeking to follow Christ, from what I've heard, and I pray he continues to follow Jesus. Yeah. Here's the thing, though. Who should be responsible for that, though? Yeah, I'm back to this Pastor John guy and Mark Driscoll.
Yeah.
John Lindell. So John Lindell and Mark Driscoll. I'm looking at those two guys going, you know what, John, you invited that guy there. Did you set him up for success or to be a publicity stunt?
Yeah.
And same thing with bringing out Mark Driscoll.
Yeah.
And there's even a lot of people who are saying, I don't even know if I can trust that this whole thing isn't a publicity stunt, because that's exactly what Mark has done in the past, which plenty that you could point to with regards to publicity stunts he's done previously.
I have thoughts based on the controversy that surrounds Mark, and I don't want to get into skeptics and that kind of thing, because I also don't think that's fair to Mark for me to get into assumption of his intentions. All I can look at is cycles and patterns, and that's all we can base things off of.
There's one other thing, though, that I think we should just talk about from a conference perspective. Mm. We know what it's like to put on a conference, and we know how scary it can be to give somebody a stage and a microphone, and you are trusting that individual with your ministry in that moment, and you're praying that they're going to do you right, you know? And so there is a part of me that just goes, first of all, with regards to Mark Driscoll, I don't know about you guys, but anytime I've ever been asked to speak at a conference, I check it out.
I do. Every time.
And I have done hundreds of conferences.
Yeah.
And I look at every one of them and I look at what are they teaching on? Who's going to be
exactly.
there? What are they doing? Mark would have known.
Yeah.
If he would have known what was being done there. He would have known that they've done these sorts of tanks and monster trucks and sword swallowing. This would have been no surprise to him, unless he just went into it blindly, which I highly doubt.
And as you find out right away in this response video, Mark knows this pastor and this church. Mark Driscoll left platform, as we saw. Pastor John Lindell came up on the platform and was basically booed by everybody. So we have no framework of timeline when this happened in the conference, if this was the same day or anything of that nature. But all that to be said, Mark is invited back up on platform with John Lindell, and there seems to be some kind of apology and reconciliation that happens. So,
guys, I got to be honest. I'm just confused. I mean, the fact there's a giant picture of a motorcycle behind them, I don't understand this situational setting.
It is pretty confusing. Okay, imagining that this isn't a publicity stunt and that this was all genuine. Mm. Maybe it's just the skeptic in me,
right, which is fair,
right? But okay, imagine it's all genuine. First of all, from a person putting on a conference, this is a worst case scenario. You don't really want this happening. And I've only seen it a couple times happen, something like this. And when John came out and said, and reference Matthew 18, I actually agree with John.
I do.
That
I don't.
You know, go. Well, you can disagree with me in just a second here. I'm not actually going to talk about how he exegetes the passage. What I am talking about, though, is that Mark was asked to come and to speak about something, and not to come and to rebuke this thing that he didn't like in front of the audience. I do agree that if he didn't like something about the conference, he should have approached John privately, and he should have discussed that with him. That's what you do to somebody that you respect and honor and care for. Mm-hmm. You don't try to blow up their ministry.
Yeah.
If you didn't like their ministry, Driscoll should have never have come in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and that's where I would agree with you. I think the proper protocol would have been for Driscoll to speak to the pastor privately. And if he really did feel that strongly about it, urge him to immediately correct the situation with repentance and apology. And that would allow Driscoll to say what he had on his heart as well and make it more applicable. I think the Matthew 18 passage exegetically didn't apply. I don't think that's what Matthew 18 is talking about. It wasn't, the offense wasn't done to Mark, like the sin and the person who had sinned, like that particular passage. I think the pastor was kind of reaching there and trying to apply a passage of scripture that didn't necessarily apply. But I do agree that the way that Mark went about it, like that's not how you do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually talking to my wife about that yesterday, and it was one of those ones where I want to also apply grace to Pastor John, because in that scenario, your brain is spinning, you know? Mm-hmm. And so for him to maybe not exegete that passage perfectly in that moment, he's like, I'm just trying to put out a fire as fast as possible this was an oversight, clearly. But the one capacity for me, when I see that response video, I say, hearing how much you honor this man, hearing how much you know his spouse and how much you revere them for, especially for when you are going through the storm yourself, to then turn around and go and do that to him while he has invited you. And to be completely honest, in this process of wanting to see you restored into the public eye, to me, it's like, man, Mark, you got a lot of healing to do still.
Well,
you got
it's just
a lot
impulsive.
Of healing to do. Yeah, it's absolutely impulsive and damaging, because this is what I hate about, I think, the human nature. Like you were saying, Andy, the skepticism rises up in me that's like, oh, this makes it look like Mark is growing. Okay, this is smart. We're going to have Mark go do what made him famous. Then we're going to have a spiritual accountability that people didn't think he had before, rebuke him on platform and have Mark submit. And then now Mark's going to say, hey, I was absolutely wrong. I'm going to get off platform right away. You're absolutely right. And I preface this again, viewers and listeners, that this is the skeptic that you kind of got to wrestle with in these scenarios. And so it reminds me so much, and I'll pass this on to you guys for your thoughts. Just like Romans 14, where it says, let not your good be spoken evil of. You want to evangelize to the young men of our culture. Well, I was just on a trip called California Breakaway with a bunch of teen men. And I could tell you after night one, because my first session with them, I'm just meeting them for the first time. I'm checking the temperature. From the moment I finished that session, I realized, oh, they don't want any theatrics. They want to cut and dry. They want to get straight to it. And so then by the end of the week, when I put out a Q&A card for them to ask tough questions, it was loaded. It wasn't with the things that many people might say Gen Z cares about.
Mm. Well, you know, we know what it's like putting on conference. We know what people can be like as well. And you see this even at the conference where you got people cheering and booing and all the above, which you're seeing that, you know, the humanity of the broken humanity coming out in this. Because, I mean, even take our conference, for example. This is something we were talking about this year. We were during Q&A, we would have people that would like write in, you haven't prayed at your conference. You know, you didn't open in prayer. Why haven't you prayed? When are you going to pray? And then people are all upvoting this, yeah. Right? And this isn't the first time we've gotten stuff like that. But to me, I find it frustrating in some regard, because I'm like, it's division.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the spirit of Jezebel?
Yeah.
Division.
Exactly.
Division is the spirit of Jezebel. Yeah. And this is the kind of thing that Satan thrives on, is division, is brokenness. And by the way, we've had speakers, not just attendees, you didn't pray. Did we pray at the conference? Yeah, we did pray. And we prayed when we normally pray.
Yeah.
you know, but how did we open the conference? We opened in worship. Do you know how many speakers we've had that are like, hey, I don't know if you should open your conference in worship? And we're like, no, we're going to open our conference in worship.
Interesting.
Yeah, because they think, oh, it should be a lecture. You should just get in right into it. This is an intellectual thing and blah, blah. It's like, well, no. This is our conference. This is a heart and mind conference. Yeah. And we're going to run it the way that God's leading us to run this thing. And again, it's kind of back to that thing where it's like, this is what you signed up for. This is what we're doing. You need to respect that. Yeah. And the question comes back to this idea of that I want to push back to, is this question of unity versus division. Because again, if I'm not going to look at this thing as a publicity stunt, and I'm just going to look at it at face value with what I'm seeing, this is where I land. And I really think listeners we all need to really give thought to this. Mm-hmm. One is, Mark has been ministered to by this guy. This guy goes out on a limb, invites him out to this conference, and this is what happens in its place. That to me just breaks my heart, because I'm like, division. Then I like seeing the fact that they come back on stage, yep. and now they're seeking unity and not division. So I like that. Again, I'm putting out whether or not this is a publicity stunt, okay? But the part then that just breaks my heart is, I don't know if you guys have been just reading and watching some of the YouTube videos that have been going on with regards to this, where you've got some people taking Driscoll's side, some people taking John's side, yeah. and then the comments that I've read with regards to this. For example, never apologize for standing for the truth of the Bible. Driscoll almost had it right. Too bad he apologized. There should be no apologies for falling away. We are witnessing in the church. It's shameful, the level of depravity on display. I hate the fact he apologized. I mean, it just goes on and on.
Yeah.
Like, my brothers, that is the spirit of Jezebel.
And
division.
And then, I mean, comment sections are cesspools, yeah. if we're going to be honest.
They are, but the whole booing, and even yeah. you see it in the, yeah. the you see it in yeah. the conference itself. You're like, all this did was just create more division in our world.
Well, and I think about it too. When did people not pay attention to the apology? Mark didn't apologize for what he said and how he felt. He apologized for the way he went about it. That's what I got from it. So, and yeah. I'm just speaking to those that are like, oh, I hate that he apologized. Well, he didn't apologize for what he actually, you know, what he was saying. He still deeply feels about that. I ended up doing a little bit of tracking to see where Mark has been at. He's actually been preaching a series lately about the Jezebel spirit, you know, preaching about Elijah mm-hmm. and Elisha. So that this is already kind of in the realm of how he is seeing things. And if you guys know of anything, like when you're studying something, you start seeing it everywhere, even in places that it really isn't.
Right. While you were talking, Andy, I couldn't help but think, you know, we set up the theme and the pulse of our conferences in a particular way. And I can't help but think that what Driscoll did was the actual tone of the entire conference. Like, everything was over the top. The entertainment was over the top. The kind of way that they went about setting things up. There's a giant picture of a motorcycle yeah. on the screen as the, like, when nothing's going on, just throw up a motorcycle up there. Like, it's just like, this is the yeah. And so for him to come up and be like, hey, I'm gonna condemn something in a very impulsive manner, they've kind of set the stage for that it's thing perfect. To happen. And then for them to come back and him to, you know, this, everything just feels, it's almost like this hyper larger than life. The reaction is larger than life. The way he's removed from the stage is larger than life. Them coming back and doing the kind of discussion afterwards is larger than life. I can't help but think that they set these things up, maybe not intentionally, but just with the tone right. of the entirety of the conference, they've already set the stage for something like this, not necessarily to happen, but that if it does happen, it's just kind of par for the course.
You're spot on, Wes. Like a couple, almost a year ago now, if not more, I had a conversation with Steve where we were talking about this rapper named Travis Scott, who, you know, he did a concert and there were like 18 casualties and people were shocked and surprised. And I said to Steve, I was like, I'm not shocked and surprised at all, because I've heard Travis Scott's music. He's known as a rager. Like, he's known as rage hip hop. His music is overly aggressive and intense, and his concerts are always like this. So the atmosphere of every single concert is pure anarchy and chaos. You got people mm-hmm. wanting to shake the bars down. You have people legitimately fighting. And this is just, this is one of those things that people got to be more intentional and aware of. The atmosphere you set is going to produce a certain type of fruit, right? And you're watering this, like, very, like, as you said, Wes, very intense, masculine, testosterone-charged event. So then all of a sudden, you take someone's, like, fire and zeal, and it gets perverted because it's not covered properly. And that's what I just saw, is, like, the people there were not covered. Think about some of the young men that were there with their fathers. You know what I mean? You think about some of the young men, and we're really in a culture where people are looking at male, like, masculinity is under attack, right? And I'm not going to go and say that it's never been, but we're just paying attention to it far more. Masculinity has been under attack. And now, again, you see him affirm and say, this is one of the greatest conferences ever. Okay, so you knew absolutely about the potential that this could happen here. And if this is what we're saying our men's conferences need to look like to reach our men, I would go out on the limb and say, man, we might be missing the mark.
Oh, we are. Yeah, that's what it required. But I mean, people are paying to go there, man. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
And it is interesting how it just kind of plays into the culture. There was a comment that, again, by the way, when I read those comments to you, those were one after another. I wasn't cherry picking comments about apologizing. Wow. It just goes on wow. like that. You're right. They are a cesspool, though, Wes. I mean, sadly, I don't say that about the people, but unfortunately, when we don't have to look at each other yeah. in the face,
yeah. and anonymity,
we'll say all sorts of things.
People say things online yeah. that they would never say to someone's face in public.
Not a chance.
But listen to this comment, because I think this is an interesting comment. How would you guys respond to this? Dee Dee, 1665
says,
Shout out, Dee Dee. God himself is busy cleaning house. Jesus would have flipped tables and used a whip. God himself exposed this prideful Pastor John. His ministry is tainted. So should we be going to church with whips?
I err on the side of never just assuming what Jesus would do in our day and age and situation. I want to be very careful about those things, because now you're weaponizing, you may be weaponizing the wrong thing. And what it's going to do, like we've been talking about, is going to cause division. Like if we were to sit in any church, right? If you sit in any church, I guarantee within the first 2 minutes of anyone speaking, I'm going to find something I disagree with, if that's what I'm looking for, pure and simple. But it's not for me to then get up on the platform every single time a pastor quotes something out of context. I mean, think about all the podcasts we've done. I know I've probably quoted something out of context, but, you know, should I be then kicked off the podcast? Like, am I... You know what I mean? Like, there's a conversation to be had there, but I don't think we should be walking into churches just looking to flip tables and whip people, because there's also a Jesus who was on the cross next to someone who didn't have time to repent, but Jesus forgave him regardless. Do we want to be that person as well?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a very specific context to Jesus flipping the tables. And very. I think Jesus, as the Son of God, knows a lot of things that we don't. And so I think we got to be very careful when we use that passage, because yeah. there's a very specific context to it. And I don't think that it, you know, we can take a descriptive passage where Jesus is described as doing something within his context, within his situation of the narrative, and then say, well, now that's prescriptive. Now we take that, and that's something that you should go and do likewise. I think there's some application maybe that we can take from that and apply to things, but it is a descriptive yeah. situation. It's not a prescriptive. Jesus didn't then turn to his disciples and say, and now you two also go and flip over tables. like that's yeah. not that's
do
not exactly what's happening. And, yeah, do
there's
this
an
in
irony
remembrance
here.
Of me.
And as many times as you do this, do yeah. so in remembrance of me.
Yeah, yeah.
There's an irony here, Wes, that does apply to the context of this. And that is that what's Jesus angry about? Division. He's angry about the division that's happening and the unity that the temple was always supposed to represent yeah. and to bring. And as he goes on, that this should be a house of prayer for all nations. And so it's ironic, because if you want to talk about Jesus getting out the whip and starting to flip over tables, it's actually about it's actually about how everybody's responding to this. And you've got, you know, it's the division. It's not, this question about is the church united, and are we seeking unity or are we celebrating the division and the, you know, how viral something could be in its, you know, the disaster of it sort of idea. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going to take, I'm going to take Driscoll's side, I'm going to take John's side, and I'm going to cheer for, you know, my righteous conclusion sort of thing yeah. and saying, you know what, man, where is the unity amongst our division? It reminds me of what Paul, but like read 1 Corinthians.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's what he's doing the whole way through this, going, man, you guys are a circus gong show going on here.
Yeah.
Right? That is just constantly in division. And I'm reminded in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, he says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, all of you agree with one another in what you say and what that there be no division among you,
yeah.
but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tricky because there are even caveats to that, right? The whole Martin Luther quote, a unity of possible truth at all costs. And like, that's true too. And so it's not, I don't think it's a one or the other. I think it's both. And I feel like this situation
sacrifices both
more often than it doesn't. And the fact that every person commenting online feels like they too need to be the Apostle Paul, like, hey, maybe you're not the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not Jesus.
Yeah.
Put the whip down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I mean, this is where things get messy. Because are there times that you need to call things out? Yes. But the question you should be asking yourself is, how do I call this out in such a way that I honor my brother and sister in Christ, and I do so in a way that seeks unity, mm-hmm. not division?
Yeah. That has to be the goal, right? It really, really does. And sometimes unity is saying, I'm not going to bring this person to my conference because it will derail and distract from what God is doing in their lives, in their restorative process, and I don't want to put them on platform where something could go wrong only for it to get hijacked by the fact that they're still growing.
Or here's another one, too, with regards to that, Troy. If we want to circle back to the former stripper and the performance, right? Mm. In our day and age, one of the thoughts that went through my mind immediately is, I was thinking, yeah, this is a men's conference, but you're assuming that these men aren't struggling with, say, same-sex attraction, yeah. or various other things.
Big assumptions.
Where, yeah, and like how you know, is that a wise thing to do? Again, back to this idea of unity, and especially if this conference is about pointing people to Jesus, or are you introducing them to a challenge, yeah. right? This is where you move on, as Paul says, from baby food mm-hmm. to adult food.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously there's, you know, I think there's an ongoing conversation that can be had in different layers and different capacities, but we didn't want to get into the weeds of the other aspects, right? Because it just steals away from the point. It really steals away from the point that's trying to be made, is unity has to be our goal, right? If I truly say that I love and revere Andy or Wes, and I see something that in their lives, you know, I see Andy wanting to go and do these acrobatics up on a, I'm just going to say, hey, I don't know if we should do that at the conference, Andy. I know you're strong. I know you were just in Patagonia and had a great experience, but I stress that maybe we shouldn't. But because I have.
But I just want to rip my shirt off.
I understand. I totally get it. I get it. But you have to tell them no. But if you have a relationship with someone, pure and simple, and you are offended by something they're doing, or you have concern for something they're doing, man, just go approach them. It's as simple as a conversation. Don't wait till you're on their platform to try and destroy them, because now you're breaking a relationship. Now I'm not going to want to hear a word you have to say, because you're actually trying to humiliate me, not call me higher. So thank you, listeners, so much for tuning into the AC Podcast. Make sure to like and subscribe on all platforms, including YouTube. And join us next week when we find more things to think about. But as always, love God, love people. Bye for now. It's the AC Podcast.